That was well done.
You know, only Jenny is allowed to call me babe.
Yeah, no worries there. Yeah, we're tight, but no worries there.
Anybody else, it would have to be Pastor Babe.
Pastor Babe. Reverend Babe, perhaps?
Reverend Babe, that would work.
So we were putting this service together a long time ago. A lot of people have their thumbprints and fingerprints all over this service. One of the things initially was discussed was to surprise you and have first service, you know, go just like first service would normally go, and then when you get up to teach second service, we'd say, ha-ha, and take it from you. And we ditched that fairly quick, knowing your personality. So
that's wise. That's wise.
So we thought we'd do a little Q&A and just kind of pull the curtain back on your 20 years here, get some inside scoop on some things, some funny moments, that kind of thing. So it was a lot of fun last hour. Looking forward to it again this hour. Let's lead with that. Some funnier moments from 20 years in ministry. Some of the things that are just laugh out loud funny. Maybe share an inside joke that we have here at staff or elders, sure. Something like that. So,
and we do have a few of those. You know, as I look through, you know, the last 20 years of ministry and the various things that we've experienced, you know, some of those funnier moments come at times that at the time it doesn't seem like we should laugh or that this is a funny time, but I don't know, sometimes you have to laugh or you go nuts, you know? I can think of even just recently being asked to do a funeral, and for those of you that aren't aware, sometimes I do funerals here in the community. For me, it's a ministry to our community. When someone comes to one of the funeral homes, like George Boone Funeral Home, and they're not connected to a church, they have no real faith family, and they need someone to do the service, I'm on a list that George Boone will call, and then I'll perform those services for the family. For me, it's great ministry to step into a point in people's lives where it's the worst day possible for them, and without much of a faith experience, to be able to share some hope to them. So for me, it's a great ministry. But because of that, I also meet some interesting individuals they're just interesting people. We're all interesting. This particular...
Some of us more than others.
This particular funeral I was asked to do, they said, you know, like, where's the location, you know? Most of the time, it's going to be at George Boone in their you know, chapel, and they've got a beautiful new building. It's a beautiful setting for it. No, they didn't want it there. They wanted it at the bar. Yes. So George Boom agreed to do it at the bar and then called me and said, hey, we've got some of the community would like to do a funeral. Would you like to do it? I said, totally. I would like to do it. And they said, good. I'm glad you said yes. By the way. So, yeah, in Rowena, there's a bar there called the Red Rock Bar and Grill. And they had an open bar that started 2 hours before I got up to do the funeral.
Before the funeral. It's like a wedding funeral then. No?
Yeah, it was, spirits were moving, let's put it that way. I was offered a few beverages to calm me beforehand, but I refrained. But yeah, those are, you know, things like that can be just, you know, really goofy. I think my youth ministry days, I cannot believe that I survived here during those days and some of the things we did, like bowling frozen chickens down the hallway upstairs.
Wow.
Like for bowling, you freeze it, you take a chicken, not a big one, and freeze it, and then take a paddle bit and drill 3 holes for the finger holes, and then we used it for bowling. I thought it was great. They're raw, of course.
Yeah.
And I wasn't thinking salmonella or anything, and I also wasn't thinking as the night went on how they defrosted, and like eventually the wings started flipping out, you know, as it would go down. And I had a few calls from some parents and had some important conversations, I think, that needed had.
Well, you know, Pastor Harry, who we heard from on the video, you know, you'd go into his office with one of those ideas, and he would say, Doug, I'm behind you.
Way behind you.
That's
right.
Yeah.
He would.
Yeah. He wanted you to know that was yours.
That's right. Yeah. That one is all you, buddy. Yeah. Yeah, good times.
You know, the old joke is pastors work one day a week. So really... You know, 20 years, what is that?
That's 52 times 20.
Yeah, that's not
a lot. Like, yeah, I mean, it's like 104 days of work.
Right.
So, wasn't that tough?
So maybe, you know, walk us through what you do during the week. I you know, work right next to you, so I get to see that, the staff get to see that, the elders get a little bit of that. But what do you do during the week? What does a typical work week look like for you?
Sure. I mean, my work week, is task-oriented like many of yours are. You know, I know some people think, oh, as a pastor, you know, you show up at work and you put on some monk's coat and you go pray for a long time or something. It's just not that way. I mean, there's daily tasks to be done. So I'm on an airplane this one time, and I don't remember coming to and from some conference. I just remember being exhausted. You get on this airplane, and you just want to unwind for the 3 hours of the flight. And I sit next to this gal. She is probably in eighth grade, young gal. And she is not looking to just have personal time. She is as chatty as it gets, and she's just chatting me up one down the other. And, you know, you feel the Lord kind of prompting you, like, lean into this, like, talk to her, you know. But the human side of me is like, leave me alone, you know. And eventually, so I start to talk to her, and she's telling me all kinds of things. And eventually she asks a question, like, what do you do for a living? And I said, I'm a pastor. And literally said, must be amazing to only have to work one day a week. So instead of explaining it, I said, yep, sure is. It's
great. I'd recommend that.
my work day also is wrapped up a little bit in what just my personality or who I am as a person. I'm an early riser kind of person. Alarm goes off at 4:30. Most of the time, don't need it. Brain kind of starts waking up before that. And I'm at my best in those early hours. Works really great for me here because I come in here, I'm usually in the office somewhere around 5-ish, and I'm able to study, which is a big part of what I do. For many hours before anybody comes in, before the phone starts ringing, nobody really drops in, you know, at those points either. And so, you know, a lot of study and, reading of commentaries and scriptures and all kinds of things. It has to do with the prep of a message and getting ready for teaching and those kinds of things. Aside from that, there's a lot of correspondence that takes place throughout my day. I get a lot of correspondence from you as a congregation. It could be an email, and you've got a life issue or problem, and you need some advice, or you want to come in and you want to visit, and you need to kind of understand, you know, what would God's perspective be on this or that. Meetings. I mean, a lot of meetings during the week. I have those with many of you. You know, each week could be anywhere from 10, 12, 15 different meetings that I'm a part of. During the day, in the evenings, just really depends. The work is the work, and it's really important for me that I remember in the midst of all that I do that it's about loving people and not get so involved in the task that I'm doing. That's not just for me, I mean, that's for any of us in our jobs. So realize that you're not there just to accomplish a task, but God has you there for a purpose and a reason. The people you rub shoulders with, the people he puts across your path are people for you to be able to love on and to show God's love to. And then, of course, throw in weddings and funerals and those kinds of things. Each one of those could be 10 to 15 hours of work on top of it. So some weeks are long, some weeks are not so long. It just kind of depends. But I do work a little more than just on Sunday morning. So
absolutely. How do you come up with the monthly teaching series? How do you design that? I know you're typically scheduled months out. So walk us through that process and how you design our Sunday mornings, and then how you design the monthly series and all that goes into that.
Sure. I mean, a lot of people think that I know what to teach on Sunday morning after Jen Simons puts it on the sign out front. Mm-hmm. You know, that clues me in because, you know, Jen keeps a list and she knows what's happening. But honestly, for me, I'm more of a planned out kind of an individual. Most pastors, and not a negative in any way, they write the message the week of when they are going to teach, and many of them are writing them on Saturday evening. They feel they connect with it better because they literally just kind of gave birth to this thing, and then they
literally.
And so, but for me, I'm more of a planned out kind of a guy. And so, what I'm doing is I'm sitting and as I'm interacting with people each and every day, I'm jotting things down in this list that I keep on my computer and my phone. They're linked together on Google Keep. That matters to you. But and on there, I start jotting things down. And I'll start to discover in all the various counseling sessions or meetings that I'm having or things that I'm experiencing even as I'm watching a movie or, you know, just doing life. And I start to jot these things down and I start to see patterns or I start to see where you know, there's a subject matter or a theme that's popping up, and I realize this would be something that we should be teaching on, or maybe something that's going on in our world that we can kind of focus on. And so once I start to get some of those ideas gelled together, then I like to get away for about 2 or 3 days. I'll do this a couple times a year, and I bring a lot of resources with me, and I go away somewhere where it's, you know, I don't communicate very much with anybody. I spend time in prayer and in reflection, and I put together about 6 months' worth of series. So come up with the idea of what we're teaching or the scripture passage, dig into that while I'm on this retreat, and break out the title of it, what scriptures are being used, what the theme of that passage is. And then once I've done that, I try to ask myself the question, if someone was hearing this or reading this, what would their big question be about this text? So I try to write that question, then I write the answer to that question. And I do that for each message in a series, four obviously messages in a month, and then over 6 months, I think that's 24 messages. So, and I do that so that when I come back, I've got those 6 months, but I'm doing that while I still have 6 months on the book. So generally, I know the series and what we're teaching about a year out, and then I don't like to write them the week of. I like to write them about 6 weeks before. So if I've got six messages in the hopper and I'm planned a year out, I'm a happy boy. Mm-hmm. Not that we don't need to move and adjust those as we go along, but I am so surprised so many times when we'll have a series and people will tell me, like, this is exactly what I needed at this exact moment, you know, and I'm like, yeah, well, we planned that like a year ago, so right. I don't know, right. The way that happened. Or they'll be like, in our culture, I just can't believe it speaks exactly, I don't know, God apparently knew that. So, yeah, so that's kind of how I design those and put those together.
Sure. How about some ministry highs in the last 20 years, some high points?
Wow, we've had a lot of high points. I think that's one of the things that's really surprised me as I've thought back over this 20 years. You know, 20 years, maybe you can relate it to your kids because that's about how long they're in your home, you know, depending. But after, you know, 20 years, it just seems like your kids are with you that long. And ministry kind of feels that way, like it's just been really quick. When you go back and you look at the photos and the videos, and you look at yourself in those pictures, you're like, wow, I was a better looking person back then. And a lot of time has gone by. And there are a lot of stories that got you to where you're at today. And so ministry is one of those. And as I think back over some of the real highlights, they have been the points where we as a people have really caught what God has asked us to do or what he has been spurring us on to do. I think of some of the moments, like when I first came on here at Hillcrest, the church had bought a piece of land out on Highway 11, and the idea that we were going to move, just like many of the churches were, and build a church out there, and we'd be in debt, but we'd have this, you know, great facility. Hopefully it'd have like a big waterfall in it or something. I don't know. Like, whatever the idea was at the time to build this thing, and to watch the congregation realize that God was not done with us yet at this location, that this neighborhood had not yet experienced all that I think they would have if Jesus were residing here and interacting with this community. And the selling of that land and the giving up on that dream for the hopes of the dream of being used by God here. And then after selling that land, the church coming together and voting to not take that money and just throw it in our bank accounts and live off interest or whatever it is, but to literally give that money away. $1 million given away in ministry. Was a super duper high point for me. But those high points are also, some of the low points are kind of, they piggyback with those things.
Some of those highs are birthed out of low moments too. So
right.
Speak to that.
Yeah, like even like the giving away of those funds, there were people that just disagreed with that. They said, you know, we should be moving. Or people would say, you know, that's fiscally, you know, ridiculous to give that money away. And we just felt that's what God had called us to do. But then those people left. And many of them left in a noisy way, in a hurtful way, and took many with them. And you know, those are tough moments for us as a church. You know, other great moments would be, you know, when over about a year and a half period of time, how our elders studied the idea of the role of women in the church and what kind of leadership positions they can and can't have. And, you know, churches are all different places on that. And through our study and our work with our denomination, we came to the understanding that women could serve in leadership roles. And both Vicki Tigner and Sherry Goosey at the time became our first women elders. But again, we had people that disagreed, and a lot of people left us during that time. Those were tough days, too. Other times, though, I think where we really get it right, you know, I can think back, both you and I had the blessing of doing this, but we've had people that attend here that, you know, I call special needs in various ways. You know, wheelchair bound, you know, have all kinds of issues, and they wanted to be baptized. Well, we're Baptists, right? So how do we baptize? I mean, we just dunk you underwater. But these individuals, they couldn't. They had all kinds of respiratory problems and issues like that. And I can remember us going to the children's, what was it called? The children's hospital?
Yeah, children's hospital.
What is over there on 26, yeah.
Western,
right. And they have a rig that you can kind of, they can sit in a chair and it goes over the water and then it lowers them down. And like we went there and our church shows up at the pool to do these baptisms in which we just did a little sprinkling because that's the best they could do, you know, which was not immersion, you know, and like, oh, but man, the church got it, you know. And those are moments I just feel like the angels are singing and like everybody's like, yeah, you got that one right. So yeah, good moments like that. So
awesome. Well, if this were to be your last Sunday, your last time with us, what would you say? What would your message be about? What would you say to us if this was your last one?
This isn't my last one.
It's not.
Oh, yeah.
It's not a retirement. Let's clarify.
Thanks
that
for the 20 years. Happy trail. You know, this is something you might not be aware of, but these are things I think about a lot. I don't know when my last message is. I don't know when the Lord's going to call me home. I don't know when he's going to call me to some other thing. I was never intended to stay here 20 years. It's not like that was a goal of mine. Like, stay at Hillcrest as long as possible or trying to kick you out. Hang on, you know. It's just part of God's journey, you know, what God has been up to in me and within Hillcrest. So as I think of what it is that I would want to be communicated, if it was my last chance to talk with all of you, I would hope that it would be similar to the way Jesus taught with his disciples when it was the Last Supper. And he came to that and he taught them for the last time prior to his crucifixion. And though they didn't quite all get it, Jesus certainly knew what was about to take place. But the thing is in those moments, Jesus didn't teach something new. It's not like he had brand new words for them or brand new ideas. He communicated the same thing he'd been communicating to them for the 3.5 years prior, about loving God and loving others and the intentionality and the importance of that. And as I've said to all of you many times after a message, you know, anything you get from this today, remember this one thing, and that's that God loves you. And I think that if I had one last message, whatever illustration I use or even whatever text I've chosen, that every text is pointing to that same thing of loving God and loving others. And so I'd hope that really that would be the message that would come across. You know, maybe I do it in some, we'd probably have pyrotechnics or something here, you know. I'm sure they'd dream up something crazy, but yeah, that would be kind of how that, I would hope that would come out.
Sure.
So, you know, as I think back over these 20 years here at Hillcrest, it has been an incredible journey for me. I started here just 28 years old, 48 years old today. Hillcrest, 73 years old this year, and when I came here, Hillcrest was 53 years old. Think, good golly, like, as a pastor, I'm going to be here like a third of all of Hillcrest's history. And you look back before that, and the average for a pastorate is 4 years here at Hillcrest. So, you know, there have been those better than you before you that have tried to get rid of me that did weren't able to do it. God has, he's always up to something, and he's looking for obedience from us in whatever that is that he's called us to. Many years ago, maybe 5, 6 years ago, I started to see a pattern kind of develop in my life. Norman, who's a mentor of mine, said this to me. Cecilia Dockler said this to me as well, which is Tarina's mom. But the idea is that you don't have to know the whole plan God has. You don't have to know when you start that he's going to have you there 20 plus years. I mean, this week starts my 21st year of ministry at Hillcrest. But you don't have to know the whole journey. You just have to be obedient in the one thing in front of you in that moment on that day and forget the rest. And if you're obedient there, then at the next opportunity, just be obedient there. And if you focus on just the one thing, you don't have to worry about the future, but you will end up being exactly where God wants you to be. And so one day at a time, one choice at a time, one ministry at a time, one conversation at a time, has brought us to 20 years together, and I just couldn't be more pleased with what God has been up to. Doesn't mean that it's been easy. It's also not all been hard. There's been great joy and celebration along the way as well. You know, as being a pastor for 20 years in the same church, it is unusual. It's unusual for some reasons. Certainly there's great things about having a pastor for 20 years at your church, because your pastor knows you and knows your community and knows the history here, has been able to do great ministry with you and your family. You know, maybe has dedicated your kids, later on baptized your kids, later on married your kids, and then dedicated their children. I mean, these are the things that happen in a long-term, you know, ministry. But also, as I look across this, it is hard to find faces that haven't confided in me at one time or another, where I've been able to pray with you or encourage you. And all of those stories and all of those meetings in my office or over a burrito at Qdoba or wherever it is have been locked in a vault in my heart. Ministry is like a family relationship. You know, sometimes we have to say hard things to one another, but it's said out of love and out of compassion and out of genuine hope for each other. And I am privileged beyond words that I can describe for the opportunity to serve in this way for as long as I have here. You know, the negatives of having a pastor so long is he just gets comfortable. You know, everything gets boring, and there's just no vision casting, and his messages are just like he's trying to like recreate them from who knows how many years ago. And I think here at Hillcrest, we've stayed fresh with those things. I love my teaching ministry. I realize it's one of the most important things I can do here. The time that I spend on those messages, the creative teams that we have to help with that creativity and keep those things exciting. And but at the same point, the vision casting is important as well. And with Pastor Brian and with the other leaders that we have around here, we are always looking to cast a vision for the next thing God has for us. And next week is an example of that. This pastor and Brian and I went to Ethiopia and heard God's call. We brought that back, his vision, and we ended up sponsoring 104 kids, and there's like a few kids left on the board. But I mean, what God did through that is just another example. Next week, we're going to give away this big check, and it's a celebration, and it's another step in what God is up to here at Hillcrest. And so I think if the pastor can get out of the way of what the Holy Spirit wants to do, he'll have a better chance at having a long pastorate in a church, because it's what the Holy Spirit is doing and not what he's doing or based just on him as an individual. So I am honored to do that. You know, the next chapter for us, what is that? And there's a lot that's in stake for us as a church and a lot in store for us. You guys blew me away on Easter when I thought, you know, it'd be like 10 or 15 kids would get sponsored. That Sunday morning, Brian and I were standing together and it's Easter and everything's happening, and Tarina came up. We had like 40 kids total able to be sponsored that day. And she said, how many of the 40 do you think will get sponsored? Brian and I said, I don't know, 10, 12, like 15 of you. It was crazy. And Tarina, her mouth dropped open in disgust at us. And she, you know, she was in disbelief that that's what, you know, we thought. And she said as much. And but Tarina, you know, we just licensed her as a pastor. She's green. She doesn't know. So we educated her on how these things go. Like, come on, set the bar where we can reach it, the whole thing. And she just was flabbergasted by that. So then, of course, when we did the pitch and the line went first service all the way out and around the thing, and it's 100 some odd, I'm out of the 40 and there's nobody left and people are signing up on a sheet. I look over at Trina, arms folded, lips pursed like this. But there are things that God has in store for us, and you proved to me on that Easter that you are ready for steps that I did not know you were ready for. Tarina apparently knew it. I didn't know it. And the next steps I think God has for us is things that churches just flat out aren't doing, because they are not ready for these things, because they are beyond just the surface level of ministry. And it's really looking at your lives and saying that this message of hope has been given to you and you're a caretaker of it. And our responsibility as followers of Jesus Christ is to share that message with someone else. And that is the scariest thing we can do as Christians, is to share our faith with someone else. But I truly believe that this congregation is on the cusp of catching what so few churches can actually catch. That they grow from their ministries, right? And they bring them in with pizza and then they keep them with pizza type idea. But I really believe that this church is ready to grow through the saving knowledge of Jesus Christ. And I believe it's within you, and I believe the Holy Spirit is moving in you in this. And over these next years, I'm going to challenge you in some ways that I have not challenged you before, to cast a vision for something so much greater than just ourselves and sharing our faith with others, because that faith was shared with you and changed your life. And that same faith that resides in you, the Holy Spirit will use to change the life of someone else. But we've got to learn to step into those moments. So do look forward to the next years together. Again, I don't know how long God's got us here, but He's got us here today. Well, I've got a few messages in the hopper. I hope He's got me here for a few more weeks. But whatever it is God's plan. It's His direction. It's His action. Of all that I do, I could not do it without the faithful love and support of so many of you around here. But I don't want to discount the truest support that I have is my family. From my kids to my mom and my dad, you heard them on the video. They have been nothing but supportive for me through the highs and lows, and they have been through the thick and the thin. And the one that has been there the most for me out of anyone is my wife. Behind any man who's done anything of significance in the world, there is a strong woman who has been there to support and to strengthen. And she's been the one that has been there when I've come home and said, I can't do it anymore. I've got a file where I've written multiple resignations over the year. I can't do it any longer. And she says, you're not turning that in. We can do this. Her prayers for me. So, thank you.
Well, I find all that rather telling.
That's a whole nother story, yeah.
And so is this one. We have just one more thing. I want to invite Burke, our chairperson, up to the stage. When he's coming up, the conclusion of the service, we got a great meal in the back for you. We ask that you find your seat and have a seat there, and we'll dismiss you kind of like wedding style. But Burke, take away.
Hello? Okay, good. We're already planning the 30th. So
all right.
It's underway, yes.
All right.
We have plenty of time to get that ready. As a celebration usually goes, food is coming, but there are also gifts, and I would like to invite Dennis DeBoer up to present. There he is this time, sneaking up from the right.
Well, lucky for you, I have seen your moments, so I don't remember what I said in the first service. On behalf of facilities and decor, you can go ahead and open that. You've tried to figure something out that's kind of near and dear to your heart.
And that it is.
Landscape, rocks, and firewood.
Yeah, so we have Pastor Doug rocks, and if you can't tell, those are rocks with little Jeeps bumping over them. But for it really to be one of my Jeeps, we'd have to spill like a puddle of oil off one of these.
Yeah, Pastor Olam told me I should break one apart and just glue it on a rock.
That would actually be perfect. So, yeah, leave an axle or something somewhere in the trail. But thank you very much.
And there
yeah.
is a Bible verse on the back.
Also. Wonderful, wonderful.
Thanks, Dennis. Pretty perfect. Well, I'd like to invite the Bartell family to come on up, and I would also like to invite staff and elders up. Again, inviting all of you to the after party. There is a celebration in the Family Life Center, or whatever we call the giant room.
Yeah, and the food that we're eating, I selected it, you know? You're like, let's have a meal. Well, that's fine, as long as you serve what I want. So it's chicken fried chicken.
Nice.
Mashed potatoes, gravy, corn, and I don't care what else. There's probably some other vegetable, but I won't eat that. So, it's delicious. Come celebrate with us, yeah. It'll stick to your ribs.
Can't say no more. Anyway, let's pray for them. Lord, we thank you for this great day. It has been a very good day, and it has been a day of celebration, of celebrating a long obedience in the same direction. We thank you for Doug's willingness to hear that call and obey it many years ago when he didn't know what lay ahead of him and when he was in one situation and was willing to hear you and move to something he didn't know a thing about. And we have benefited from that decision and his obedience and all the obediences in the days since then. We thank you for his faithfulness to your call, his faithfulness to this body, his faithfulness to his family. And we thank you for that family that stood behind him, that strengthened him, that has gotten him through dark times and celebrated with him in the times of victory. And Lord, we thank you most of all for your faithfulness, for your leading, for your strengthening of Doug, for your willingness to speak into his life and mold him and change him and use him. All these things are evidence of your faithfulness. We pray for the future of this body, and we pray for Doug's future, whatever you have for him, his ability to see it clearly, his vision, and his the experiences and growth that lay ahead for him. We thank you for all of these things. We thank you for the blessing that he is to us and to this body and the way he brings honor to you. We ask your blessing upon him and upon the time of celebration to follow. In Jesus' name, amen. Also invite any of you who would like to come up and congratulate to file by, yeah, and then head over and eat chicken fried chicken. Which sounds delightful. Thank you.
Thank you, Burke, and thank you, everyone. It has been a great celebration so far today. I look forward to the rest of the day that we have. But remember, if you learn nothing else from this morning, God loves you, so go share that love with others. Thanks for coming today.